Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Corey, I hope you're going to allow this. Shout out Friday. It's not till tomorrow.
Today's Thursday.
I'm glad we're bringing a ray of sunshine to this person from the 682. Hey, guys, I just got fired. You guys are making that a little softer to take.
Like today?
Like they said just not, like today.
Like you got fired, got in the car, texted our show.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, that's how it happened. Listening to the show, so maybe we've made them feel better throughout the day.
So yeah. Maybe earlier this morning, like around Sean and RJ time. So now you're associating bad feelings with Sean and RJ. I get that. That happens sometimes.
I feel that way sometimes too.
Okay. All right. So, listen, man.
I'm just kidding.
Every time this has revealed itself to me. Every time. Every time a door closes, another one does open. That. Every time it's happened in my life, something new has come up, and I've liked it a little bit more. So hopefully you got something that's going to pop up your way, but just keep at it, man.
So I wanted to talk about the Rangers here for a variety of reasons. First of all, pitchers and catchers report in 27 days, if you want to get hyped about that. And then the entire squad will be there for spring training in 32 days. And I think we'll be there a week after for all your coverage right here on The Fan.
Yeah, the last week of February.
There you go.
Is when we'll be there.
So
I'm not supposed to say that. I don't know. You're staring at me like I'm not supposed to say that.
I was just I don't know. I was just staring at you.
Oh, yeah. I was like, you're fine.
I was just giving you a look.
So Evan Grant wrote something that... I was like, I bought in on every bit of it. But then I also thought, I was born and raised in the Metroplex, and I love the Rangers. So I might not be the most objective person. But he was running through. Every team seems to take a tour, or every player seems to take a tour through the Metroplex before they pass on the Rangers. And like, Roky Sasaki is just the latest that's like, oh, yeah, I'll take a look.
David Cone, yeah. Randy Johnson, Roger Clemens.
Yes.
Alex Rodriguez.
He actually did stay for a minute.
And so
and then said, send me somewhere else.
Evan Grant, he threw these things down. And like, I don't disagree with any of these, but is this too optimistic of a way to look at the franchise then? He says, has the second shiniest World Series trophy behind only, of course, the Dodgers, because they won this last year. Has a chief baseball executive who may not say all of the words, but speaks the exact same language as the direction baseball is going, because Chris Young has been through all this before. We talked about it. At one point, people speculated if he could be the next commissioner. You have a Hall of Fame manager who has won more World Series than any active player in the game. You have in your residency, if you're a pitcher, somebody who you can study the pitching dynamics of in Jacob deGrom and everything else in Nathan Eovaldi, because he is there to help. You have a decent long-term pitching out prospects with Kumar Rocker and Alejandro Rosario, who are both ranked among MLB's top 100 prospects. That might sound like a boast, but it equals the pitching prospects in the top 100 for the Dodgers, Padres, and Blue Jays combined. And then you still have a brand new baseball park, which that was a weird way I said that. So my point was, these all seem like really positive things. And then I see odds to make the playoffs next year. Minus 115, yes. Minus 115, no. So it is literally a coin flip. And I wonder, all those things are true, but the Rangers still feel like they're down the list in terms of destination places.
Yes. Now, Sasaki is just a choose where you want to play. There's sure. really not much of a financial benefit, yes or no. But I hear you. But recently, we have had Eovaldi say yes twice, DeGrom say yes, Seager say yes, Semien say yes. I'm trying to think of Jock Peterson just said yes, and I get Jock's not a superstar. He's a two-time All-Star, but I think now, if the Rangers are offering the most money or they're tied for the most money, I think they might win these now.
Okay.
If that makes sense. But I don't know when the next time Ray Davis is going to say, screw it, let's go get, I don't know who the next super big free agent's going to be. I'm sorry, my mind's going blank on next year. Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Right.
I believe he's a free agent sure. after this year. I don't know if the Rangers are going to say, with Vladdy, we had his father, let's go in. And obviously, Vladdy Jr. was here for a second in his life. Let's offer him $40 million a year. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but I think there would be a chance of a yes.
Okay.
But I hear you. I hear what you're saying. Recently, though, I don't know. A lot of people are saying yes to us.
Okay. And that line of thinking is somewhat, I feel like, reflected in an ESPN article. We didn't do it last week, but it was essentially like the temperature for every MLB team, like in terms of have they been heating up and everything like that. As you can probably guess, the Dodgers are number one. But number eight on that list was, again, the Texas Rangers. And I realized last year it was a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad year. But it does feel like there are other people who are like, hey, you win a championship, there's nowhere to go down. But some people who still think they can bounce back up this year.
The stadium has to have something to do with that too now. As us being children watching this team, it was always, nobody wants to play in this heat. And I wonder how much
that's a good
our
point.
Time has changed now. Yeah. That like pitchers are looking at it going, oh, like that's right. I can go pitch indoors.
There's no reason why, if you're a premium pitcher, why you'd want to send your client to, and I love the ballpark in Arlington, but there, what was the point? You better get big time contract that you're never worried about another contract the rest of your career.
Yeah.
Kevin Millwood did choose here. Not like he was big time, but he was a nice pitcher at the time. But I get it, man. You better sign a contract where at the end of this, we know that we are not going to be looked upon favorably for the rest of your career, because it's going to be close to impossible to put up good whip, ERA type of numbers. Maybe you get the wins and losses because your offense is killing it while you're there. But now you don't have to worry about that. You're going to be pitching at home in a fair ballpark.
Yeah.
Where if you hit a homer, you hit a homer. If you don't, you don't. It's not going to be like, that ball would have been caught in 28 out of the 30 ballparks. Yeah. But here it's five rows deep in right field.
So I do feel like, Kevin, like with the addition of quality, class, cream of the crop, you know, front office and manager, that stadium kind of helped balance and give them that opportunity to be in that area.
Make sure they're at least not at a disadvantage anymore.
And then Hurtado, obviously, you know, having that barbecue. And I'm serious about this.
And Whataburger's there now.
Yeah, and Whataburger. But seriously, Kevin, when you think about it, you go to L.A., you get done with baseball that day, or you want to stick around the city, there's stuff to do. There's a lot of things to do.
Yeah.
And DFW, you're kind of like, all right, what is there? And
there's a Walmart right near the park.
There's Walmart, Mike. That's right. There is a Six Flags.
Yeah, they go ride roller coasters.
Hurricane Harbor.
There's no question, if things go the way some Texans and some politicians want it to go, there will soon be a destination-style casino out in that general area as well. I know we're still talking about years away, but make no mistake, behind the scenes, those people are trying to make that happen.
You just imagine, though, that like they're walking Juan Soto around the stadium and they're showing him all these things. And he's like, yeah, but when are we going to get to go on the Superman over there? Like, do I get to ride the Joker? Is that for free? Yeah, let's go right now.
The only teammate I ever knew who went to Six Flags before a game, and not like right before the game, but it's like, screw it, I'm waking up at 10 a.m. and going and riding some rides, was Jeremy Burnitz.
Really?
Yeah, on the Mets. We came here in 03, and he woke up, and he went over to Six Flags and rode like the roller coasters at 10 a.m.
Did he? Okay, is there, this is a tough question to ask, I know.
I love it.
Is there any chance you know if he had a better than or worse than game than usual that day?
I have no clue.
Okay, because if you were he hit two home runs that night.
I will go to baseball reference right now and look at Jeremy Burnitz's 2003 game log
when
we played at Texas.
It would have been amazing if like it was a really great or really terrible game for that reason. All right, to go along with this, Corey, I have very specific candidates in mind, but it could be whoever the heck you want. Do you think it's more likely that the Rangers have the American League MVP this season or the American League Cy Young this season?
I'll say this is tough because both candidates are oft injured.
Fair.
But I'll say MVP.
Okay.
Because even in what would be considered a down season for Corey Seager, he was awesome. And I think he will be healthy coming into this season.
Yeah.
And won't be pushing it too much to be in this season, but he still has that kind of hunger to be perfect for it. So I really do think that he has that chance. If a healthy DeGrom, like, the sky's the limit. We're reaching for the stars, Kevin.
And I know it feels like a long shot, but I was just looking at it, I couldn't help but notice the Rangers have a top five candidate for both. Corey Seager is fifth in the betting odds for AL MVP at 9-1. Jacob DeGrom is fourth in the betting odds for AL Cy Young at 10-1. So I was like, at least the bookmakers are like, hey, I could see both of your guys being up in the mix.
So I lean more towards Jacob DeGrom, which is scary. I get the injury history and how they're going to possibly protect his arm, which could be tough to rack up all of the numbers you need for Cy Young. Can you tell me, you just said where Jacob DeGrom is. Who's ahead of him? So let's look at the competition.
Care to take a guess before I tell you?
Oh, crap.
Garrett Cole?
Well, I can just tell you.
That's a good one.
Garrett Cole.
Corbin Burns? There's AL.
Yeah, Garrett Cole's not on the list.
What?
This is where I don't think there's like, maybe, I don't know. Help me out with the best pitchers right now.
Eric Skubal.
Yeah, okay, there we go.
Garrett Crochet.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey.
I think that he has issues.
This one will break your heart just a little bit. Cole Reagan.
Hey, man.
But do you see that competition?
I'm a World Series.
That's true.
Skubal is coming into his own as the best left-handed starting pitcher in the game. I totally get it. He just won it. It's tough to win back-to-back Cy Youngs. At times, they expect you to do better than you did the year before. Yeah. I think Jacob DeGrom, if he can stay pretty much healthy, I think people will be so excited around baseball. Besides the New York Mets people, most people around baseball are like, is this awesome that Jacob DeGrom's healthy and doing great? So I think he has that going for him. When I look at Corey Seager or maybe long shot Wyatt Langford to win the MVP, I know Aaron Judge.
Yep.
He's always going to be tough to beat.
Right after him, Bobby Witt.
That's going to be tough. Gunnar Henderson still around.
He's third, and Yordan Alvarez is fourth.
Okay. I do think the competition for MVP is tougher to beat those guys than it will be for Jacob DeGrom to beat the guys in front of him.
Yeah. I mean, remember that the year that Corey Seager was that good and still couldn't beat Shohei? You know, like he was awesome.
It yeah,
still wasn't good I do think Corey Seager would have won MVP if he wouldn't have been hurt so much.
Yeah.
I could see that where if the season was like a month longer and you still know Shohei or something. Yeah,
right, because Shohei got hurt at the end of the year and couldn't pitch. But because Seager missed that kind of 30-so game stretch in mid-April to mid-May, if he would have had those games, he would have had 40 home runs. He would have had 40 doubles. He would have had so many numbers. You could have looked at it and gone, all right, Corey Seager on this team who came out of nowhere to win 90 games and did all of these things at shortstop versus Shohei, who we get it. If Shohei's completely healthy, he's going to win the this year.
Yeah.
National League. If you're in the National League, I don't know. Shohei ain't winning Cy Young, but he has a good chance to win MVP again.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's move into the expressway where we got that giveaway for the Dallas Open. Plus, Mike likes it. And also, how Troy Aikman has always wanted more for the Cowboys. Next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Remember, in this segment, we will have our four-packet ticket giveaway for the Dallas Open. We also got Mike likes it. We also have the Mike McCarthy exit survey results. You guys voted. I followed what you told me to put, and we now have the results. But this spawned off of a conversation we had in our text chain this morning, and essentially it comes down to Troy Aikman has always wanted more from the Cowboys. So we have a cut here, and Barry Switzer is featured in it talking about, like, you know, how different he is from Jimmy, and we can go into some discussion about what Troy wanted versus what Barry was going to do. And we'll probably stop and start this quote, but this clip. This goes back a while, and this goes back to Troy's playing days, where even when he was there, after they had won Super Bowls, he was like, this isn't good enough anymore. So go ahead and start me off on cut number 6.
Barry Switzer had won a title, but his coaching philosophy compared to Jimmy Johnson's could not have been more different.
Barry wanted to believe that at this level, that everybody was a man.
I don't have a bunch of 18 to 22-year-old boys that I have to shape and mold and do things like that. You're men, so I'm going to trust you to do the right thing. Well, we had a couple guys that you probably shouldn't give that much trust to.
The classic story during that whole time. We're in Cowboys training camp. The night before, Michael Irvin had led a whole group of guys out on the town, and they all came in like at 6 in the morning. And they were all hungover. And you could see it. Everybody was half sick and kind of moping around. And Switzer walks up to Aikman and says, what do you want me to do, cut Michael Irvin? And Aikman looks at him and says, no, you don't cut Michael Irvin, but you cut that guy, and that guy. And you make everybody run until they throw up in the grass.
All right, right there. Wade Phillips had the same philosophy as Barry Switzer. I don't have to grow you. I don't have to treat you like a baby. Y'all are professionals. You come in here and do your work. That's what I expect of you, is I don't have to go baby you. We were spoiled by Jimmy Johnson, because Jimmy Johnson, his philosophy was treat everybody the same differently. And that meant everybody's going to get their punishment, but Michael Irvin's special. Troy Aikman's special. Some of these guys are special. Mike, I was talking about this with you on the way up the elevator this morning. Deion does the same thing with his group, right? Travis Hunter's special. Shador is special. There are certain guys on that field that are special. Everybody else is going to get thrown under the bus unless they work harder and are better. But that's the way that was the difference. Jimmy Johnson treated all of his stars a little differently, and guys like Sherman Williams got sent home in the middle of a game because they fumbled the ball, as an example to everybody else to clean their act up.
And
so let me.
And Barry Switzer didn't believe in that.
So do we have more of that?
I want to actually play literally
what happened?
Yes, after that.
What advice did Barry take? His quarterback's advice or Barry's advice?
And Switzer says, well, I'm not going to do that. About 10 minutes in, he blows his whistle and says, boys, you're not really into it today. Let's call it a day. And Aikman was livid.
Troy, I'll never forget one time, said, we need some harder, more physical practices. Now, Barry Wing said, you know, the only one I've ever heard say that's a quarterback.
What I found was that the Barry Switzer that I played for at Oklahoma was not the Barry Switzer that I played for with the Dallas Cowboys. At Oklahoma, there was a great deal of pressure on him when I got there in 1984. So I played for a guy that was very intense. I said, Coach, let me ask you. I said, if you look back, when you were 30 years old coaching at Oklahoma, I mean, I bet you worked your tail off. And I bet now you didn't go about it the same way. And he agreed. He said, there's no question. I said, well, I'm that 30-year-old guy now. I'm not winding down the years and saying, okay, well, I'm only going to coach another year or two. You know, I didn't even expect to get this job. You know, this is important to me. I think Troy didn't like it.
Pause it right there. Pause it right there. So outside of Troy just wanting the most, you know what I also heard in there?
Yeah.
Is Jerry Jones giving the excuse for why they didn't have the harder practice. Like, you hear it specifically. He goes, with a wink, it's always the quarterback asking for the harder practice. Like, I get he's having a good time, but he's also like, hey, come on. This is why we didn't do the harder practice. And this didn't just happen last week. Like, this is a long time ago. So if you're just like, Troy has been this way and Jerry has been this way for a really, really long time.
Whenever guys are coming in hungover and Troy's telling them, run them until they throw up, so that they don't want to do that again. So that they don't desire to come, I don't want to throw up like that again. That wasn't fun. And also, I saw two or three other dudes get cut because they were. So I'm cleaning my act up at least for the rest of the season.
You send a message to 90% of the team. There's only 10% of the team that are Troy and Michael. Or
sure.
Look at the Rangers, Corey Seager, Marcus Simeon. Not that they have those issues, but there's a whole bunch here. One, the coaches that I were with that had the philosophy of Barry Switzer, they would say it this way, which is a much better way to do it, because Barry just showed that he was going to be a wussy with a capital P when it came to coaching in the NFL. You guys are men. I'm going to treat you as men as long as you act like men. As soon as you act like kids, I'm going to treat you like kids. At that point, he had to now become the coach that had kids on his team, not men on his team. That's just one specific example of back then in 1994, 1995. But what I get from this, as I sent this guys to you this morning, is Jerry has been this way ever since Jimmy and him broke up. So it's 30 years of Jerry seeing the world of football like this.
Yeah.
We had Babin. He hated having Bill Parcells because Bill did see it as Jimmy Johnson, and he can't stand it that way. He wants it to be a country club. He wants it to be we don't need to practice. We hear that Mike McCarthy, obviously we knew that Mike McCarthy didn't really have practices on Fridays. It's a country club environment, country club atmosphere. I hope that we still win. And I'm not blaming all of this on Mike McCarthy at all. In fact, I think he deserves a lot smaller of the pie of losses over the last 5 years. But this is who Jerry Jones is. Jerry is a country club party animal guy, and he wants it to be this way. And Michael supports him tremendously because Michael could do Irving, could do all. Michael's a major problem on where this all went. Even though he's a Hall of Famer and one of the best wide receivers in Cowboys history, Michael's actually a major problem for the last 30 years. Deion Sanders is actually a major problem for the last 30 years because he started jumping over. He never played for Jimmy Johnson. He started jumping over everybody going to Jerry, and then the stars realized, oh, the coach actually means absolutely nothing here. And unfortunately for my favorite quarterback of all time, one of my favorite players of all time, Troy Aikman's career was ruined by Jerry Jones. He should have gone to 5 Super Bowls, probably won 4. I'm not saying that he should have gone to every year. Like, I'm not saying he should have been Magic Johnson of the 80s in the NBA. But Jerry ruined Troy Aikman's career. And if you watch this, it's Troy Aikman has issues with Barry Sanders. I don't know if we have this as a cut or not.
Switzer?
But Troy, sorry, what did I say?
Sanders.
Sorry, yeah, Barry Switzer. Is Troy's second half of his career was just destroyed by Jerry Jones.
Let's go to cut number 7, where I think you'll get that.
As great as the first part of my career was, the back half of my career was every bit as frustrating. Once Jimmy left, I felt like we were kind of hanging on. We weren't as good in 94 as we had been in 93. In 95, we won the Super Bowl, but we weren't as good of a football team in 95 as we had been in 94. And it continued.
And just think about it. And he was like, 94 was worse than 93. And he was like, hey, somehow we won the Super Bowl in 95. That team was even worse than the team that didn't win the Super Bowl in 94.
I think also, Mike, one of the things I've heard you mention many, many times at the very end of that video is Troy griping about having to be the one.
Yeah.
When Jimmy was there, he says it was good cop, bad cop. Jimmy was the bad cop. I got to look like the good guy that everybody respected and loved, while also being demanding of the guys.
Yeah.
But Jimmy was the one that would jump down their throat while I would go, hey, chill out just a little bit. But I still had the respect of the group because they knew I was fighting with and for them.
So this is the part where I hate doing this.
Which is what, that's the thing that Dak, I think, has done really well. Those parts of I'm fighting with and for you, and those guys do believe that part of it. They just don't have that other part that's demanding excellence out of all of them.
I love what you just said in that, because Jerry does not demand excellence in this organization.
I didn't argue with that.
He's just subservient. He just says, I just need you to know that this is the brand and be part of the brand that I have created, that I've nurtured, that look, there's the worst thing in the world and the best thing for Dallas Cowboys football is that Jerry bought the team. It was so great to start off. Oh, I get maybe not to exact start off, but the first 6 years, yeah, you win 3 Super Bowls. But he has totally destroyed this organization and does not care at all to get it back into its winning ways. So this is where Cowboy fans, it doesn't matter if you hire Dion or Jason Witten or Kellen Moore. This is me speaking my opinion. Jerry is going to screw this up, and his goal is to screw it up. It's really weird, but his goal is to make the Cowboys financially secure beyond belief. Does not give two S's about what happens on the football field. He lies to you about how much he cares, but we can see in his actions how little he cares. And I thought bringing this up from NFL Films, just to show you Cowboy fans that maybe weren't around for this, just listening to Daryl Johnston, listening to Michael Irvin, listening to Troy Aikman. In 1994, Jerry decided winning is over in this organization. It's now the financial and the flash that the Cowboys will be about.
And part of the reason, I think, for all of that is because they were no longer in the place where, as you've described, you had to win to fill the seats. Like, you had gotten to the point where, whether you think it's because of the triplets, the winning, the Jerry, all of it working together, the Cowboys were the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, like, that point, if we win, great. But let's keep being the thing.
And that's what Babe kind of agreed with me on whenever we had him in the other day, when I was like, I think that's why. I'm not speaking for Troy, but having talked to a lot of those former players and how they feel and listening to things they've said publicly, they feel hurt that they built this program up to what it was, and you had a standard. They were the standard. And then whenever they were gone, it fell off from that because they did party hard. That team partied hard. They played hard. They partied hard. They did all the things. But on game day, they were showing up.
Yeah, and in practice.
Yeah, and in practice, Michael Irvin and Deion Sanders did demand, we're having hard practices today.
They kind of stopped that. Once Jimmy left and Deion wasn't, Deion would just say, I don't want to practice this day. And then and nobody, go up to Jerry, and Jerry'd say, yeah, no practice.
Yeah, nobody was there to stop that from happening. But that was, I think that's what has frustrated longtime Cowboy fans and former players that are hurt that I did this and you've let it become this.
This is what makes me sad and mad and angry and all the things as a family that was a lifelong Cowboys fan family, the Bassick family, is that when I know I won't say intentionally trying to lose, when I know you're not trying to win, I can't stand it. I don't understand why Jerry doesn't demand excellence out of his football team. He demands it from the cheerleaders. He demands it from the business partners. He demands it from the business people in his organization, the financial people. The one place where he doesn't demand excellence and is okay with losing and doesn't even care if they lose is the football team. That's the weirdest thing to me, that Jerry can demand so many things from the Dallas Cowboys. The one thing that he doesn't demand or really care about is the winning on the field.
It's that line, was it Tech Schramm that said, that told him before he bought the team, everything about it is a blast except for having to play the football games.
Yeah.
Like everything else that surrounds it is wonderful.
Yeah.
But you got to play the games on Sunday, and that could break your heart.
And
it breaks fans' hearts because we want more.
I think you're going to see that reflected specifically in one of these questions for the exit survey from Mike McCarthy getting fired. Well, I got it. Not fired, but he isn't brought back. Look, he wanted the job, and he's not the coach anymore.
I mean, you could say he quit. Yeah, you could say he got fired. Either way,
he won't be here. So the first question I asked you guys was parting ways with Mike McCarthy the right decision? You said yes. The votes came in. 66% yes, 34% no. So two-thirds of the fan base say, yeah, that's the way to go.
Do you feel like McCarthy was similar to Wade and Barry Switzer in that he was like, you guys are men and I don't have to babysit you?
Yes.
But also felt like he was also constantly having to fight some of the things that Jerry was putting on him.
And what I was going to say is, I actually think his bigger problem was the owner is a man and he shouldn't have to babysit him. And he found himself in a position where he kind of did have to.
Yeah, fair.
Do you approve of the way Jerry Jones handled the decision? 100% got 2.5% of the vote. Somewhere in between got 18.8%. Not at all. 78.7% of the people. So even the people, even a group of people who were like, yes, you should have moved on without him.
The way it was
They're
done.
Like, I don't like the way you did this.
I bet every one of them has a different thing that they didn't like too.
That is fair. But
the timing, how long you waited, how you did it, how they did. Yeah.
And that leads to this. And this is the most damning part of the entire survey. And I realize we'll just move on to the next day. We'll move on to the next news cycle, or at least the Cowboys will. We talk about this quite a bit. Your three options. The decision has me feeling like A, franchise is lost, no reason for hope. B, not sure what to think, hoping for the best. And C, the Cowboys are moving in the right direction. 6% of people said the Cowboys are moving in the right direction. 6%.
And those are probably the business partners of Jerry Jones.
And they might be. 40%, not sure what to think, hoping for the best. And for a lot of us,
that's where I was.
I've talked about this many times. I love the Cowboys not because of Jerry Jones. I love the Cowboys, well, partially because of where I was born, but also because of my mom. My mom got me watching football, and I watch football with her, just like I watch football with Brandon growing up, still do to this day. We have Noah watch football. Like, I love the Cowboys because this is where I was born, and that's part of the fabric of me, not because of Jerry Jones. And then the franchise is lost. No reason for hope. 54%. So 40% say not sure what to think, hoping for the best. 54%. Franchise is lost, no reason for hope. Right direction, 6%. That means 94% of the people that answer this question said, I'm hoping for the best or all is lost.
Before this season, Mike, I think a lot more people were in that boat, but the number was a lot lower. And this season specifically forced them into a larger portion of that.
I think, I don't know this, I don't think it's going to be as bad as the Dave Campo years. I don't.
Okay.
I think we're about to get close to that, though. It was 7-10 this year. I think they're going to struggle to be above 500. I hope I'm wrong, by the way. I just think there could be about a 2-4 year run here where it's going to be,
they got to get their finances right.
There's just no way to get out of. Maybe we can sneak into the wild card is, I think, going to be the next 3 year goal.
Can I tell you something? This is what bothers me the most about this. And we have asked Jerry and Steven about this before. The thing that bothers me the most about what you just said is, in that 3-4 years, I think the number one concern is going to be, how do we make sure people keep caring? Not how do we fast track back to winning? And I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
So, I'll go to other... I always forget. I'm so sorry. Who's the, we're getting to Mavs talk here in a second anyways, but who's the owner of the Mavs again? I'm sorry.
The Adelson family?
Adelson family. I don't care if they care or not about winning in a way. I don't need them to be Ross Perot Jr. where they're like, we're not paying 40 cents to get a good player. But I know that Nico's very competitive and is trying everything he can to win. I know that Michael Finley, who's helping him out, I believe the same. And I believe Jason Kidd. I do believe that group. I don't care how much the owner cares. I just need that person or that family to spend the money when Nico believes it's necessary to win. I don't care how much Ray Davis cares or not to win. I know how much Chris Young cares about winning. I know how much Bruce Bochy cares about winning. And you could throw in Ross Fenstermaker into that category if you want to. But I know how much Skip Schumacher cares about winning. He quit the Marlins managerial job to be like, F you guys, I'm not doing this anymore. And then took a job with the Rangers front office as maybe the manager in waiting and also just to learn how things are done in the Rangers organization because they just won a championship. We'll see if the Rangers can win or not. And I'm sorry, I can't speak too much about the Stars. But I know that the people who are making the sports decisions.
The Stars care a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the people making the sports decisions. And unfortunately, Jerry believes that he can make the sports decisions. And he's not as bad as the New York Jets we brought. There are a dozen teams probably in the NFL that he's probably not as bad at with his Steven and Will McClay three-pack. But he is really bad at it. Like, I want people who don't sleep at night when they lose.
I agree.
I want people that think they're going to kill themselves if they keep losing and not winning the championship. Not that they would ever do it. I want to make that clear. Not that they would ever do it, but like, it feels like death when I go under 500 for a season. It feels like death when we lose in the playoffs, and I want to do everything possible not to have that feeling again. The feeling of losing is so bad that I have to do everything possible to figure out how to win. And if after a while, I'll give Mark Cuban credit again on this, if I suck at this for about a five-year period, maybe I'll hand it over to somebody else. And I do believe that that's how Nico got the job, is Mark Cuban realized how bad he was at running the whole basketball thing and knew he needed major help and saw, can Nico maybe help me in this or other people. But that's why I've quit the Cowboys, is I know that Jerry's not trying. That's the thing that I don't get. Why do you not care about winning football? You can lie to us on the radio or after football games. Your actions show me that you don't care that much about the football product. I get how unbelievably successful you are as an owner in making money. Congratulations. I don't give two S's about it.
Yep.
I don't think most Cowboy fans care.
I don't.
But he has set up his family for generations upon generations upon generations.
Yeah, the only benefit I as a fan get from this team is wins. I don't get the financial benefit from it.
Yeah, you never high-five a buddy because you're like, did you see it? We're number one in Forbes again, value. Like, that doesn't happen.
That won't help me pay my mortgage.
Yeah.
But the only benefit is the satisfaction and the enjoyment of wins. And that's where for us fans, that's why our standard is different.
I just want to say one thing. I know we're moving into Mike likes the territory as well. From the 580, so why care about Jerry? So this is kind of like a multi-tiered question right here. And I know people will bring this up next. Then why talk about the Cowboys so much? Because it's maddening, exciting, frustrating, whatever the hell it is. They move the needle more than anything. Look, if we did this show
in the United States of America,
yes, exactly. If we did this show and people were like, meh, for Cowboys talk,
yeah, we're about to get to a meh team.
Yeah. But every time we talked about the Stars, people are like, hell yeah, I call them lose a peg too. And like going against your opponents. And that is what spiked the ratings, whether it's television ratings, radio ratings, whatever, then that's what we would go to. You get the Cowboys so much. And you hear them say, we take 17 straight national televised Cowboys games, is because they move the needle even with all the garbage that comes with it. And so when people want more Stars, more Mavericks, more Rangers, we do all of that. And we probably do that more than any other show. But then you still see people like, I'm out. I'm here for the Cowboys. And you're like, that's a tough balance.
Yeah, you can kind of watch it on the YouTube.
You
can see the numbers.
Yes, you can.
Let's get in.
Not the Twitch. They're always there.
Let's get into Mike Likes It and a Met team that just played for the championship.
Yeah. Here's,
help me out here. YouTube, I'm going to pull up Twitch. I'm going to get on my computer. I am getting on Twitch as it looks like the general is here doing a commercial on Twitch. Not Gavin Dawson, that one that hangs out with Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, insurance guy. Just for the record, I assumed you meant Gavin Dawson, yeah. Not the little insurance guy.
So the Mavericks played last night. Unfortunate, they got a goaltending call against them that most likely would have won the game. They would have had to play defense for 3 seconds and try to not have New Orleans make a basket, which seemed impossible in the fourth quarter. But I am struggling with this. YouTube, please text in right now. Please stop talking about whatever you random people are talking about. And Twitch, text in right now. What's your, on a scale of 1 to 10, this kind of goes into Mike ask all the football questions, but I'm now asking this about the Mavs because I am struggling with this. What's your interest level right now with the defending Western Conference champion Dallas Mavericks who just lost in the NBA Finals to the Celtics? I am struggling really tough to get interested in this Dallas Mavericks season. We're past Christmas. I get on Christmas Day, Luka got hurt. That hurt. Kyrie and Luka and Derek Lively didn't play last night. It was my anniversary. I had zero interest in watching that game. I did watch the 12-minute recap this morning on YouTube. I knew that they lost last night. But I'm just like, why am I struggling so much on a scale of 1 to 10? My interest level in the Mavs this season is probably a 4 right now, and I'm surprised it's that low at this point. We're hitting the halfway point.
Yeah, we're like literally at the halfway point, and I think part of the reason is with all the injuries, you lose hope that they can win. The difference, and that's a byproduct of the season and how long it is as well. And I'm not here to say shorten the season. That's never going to happen.
Right.
But in football, when you have injuries, you're like, hey, we're probably going to lose. But if we could just win this one game and get to the other side. But with the Mavericks, when Kyrie was out, it's like, hey, we're probably going to lose. With Luka, and he's still going to be out until, who knows, maybe February. Now you look down the schedule. Hey, if we can just compete in these 8 games, and that's the structure that you have to look at after you've already been dealing with not good basketball for the better part of a month.
My interest, I know Dawson hopped on and was like, oh man, I love watching Jaden Hardy grow. I love watching Najee. I love that in spurts. I'm perfectly fine with that on an occasional night whenever you have to have something like that happen. I'm okay with it. But I do tune in specifically to see Luka and see Kai and see them having a blast lobbing to Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford. And then the occasional amazing defensive play from PJ and then a wide open three from either him or Clay. Those are the things that excite us as fans because that's when this team's elite. So I think the chaos of what was going to be their TV situation leading right up to the moment the season started was kept you in touch with it all off season. And then when it happened, you're like, sweet, I can watch them for free. And then you watched it. And then you're like, okay, there's a lot more of these games left in this season. I don't have to watch every one of these, do I? And then injuries happen. You're like, okay, I'll be back whenever they get to a playoff run. So I think the interest level, Mike, definitely is taking that hit.
I've been looking as you guys have been talking. Texas Size Rip on Twitch says 6, I guess. Green something or other 2001 says 5 at best. I'm looking at YouTube and people are somewhere between kind of 4 and 7. I will say 7 has been the highest number that I've seen so far. But I just, it kind of stinks because it goes into our Cowboys talk. I don't want to talk about every freaking coach that they're possibly interviewing that we're going to hear nothing about how the interview went, but it seems to be way more interesting than the Mavericks playing the New Orleans Pelicans.
This is what Kevin was talking about earlier. Whenever Rafa Nadal and those guys aren't there, it's your time to shine. And it's the Mavericks' time to shine. The Rangers did it. The Rangers were like, hold on. Everybody else around us isn't doing this. Let's go win a World Series. This is their time to shine right now.
In a way, and I don't, and look, I have bias. Everybody, like every human being has bias. I guess Jesus didn't. But besides that, we all have bias. Maybe I'm more biased to baseball right now But I feel like I'm more interested in the Rangers kicking off Fan Fest and getting closer and closer to spring training than I am in the Mavericks right now. And
that is
I would say 9 out of 10 years, that's never the case because I love the Mavericks. I love watching them for the most part. Like there are times during the Mark Cuban takeover fiasco that I'm like, I can't watch this crap that you're putting out, Mark. Dwight Powell and Maxi Kleba starting is making me throw up every night. So I'm not going to keep throwing up.
Nobody likes that.
But I'm now like, hey, this is a championship contending team. They just made it to the championship. And I'm just struggling to be engaged in these games. And it's like frustrating to me about me.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you, Mike? And then I'm asking, is this the audience right now? That's why I'm asking YouTube and Twitch. At least I can kind of see, or maybe the fan text. I can kind of see, like, is it just me? Mike, it's just you. The Mavericks made the finals. I love the Mavs. I'm watching these things and that things. And it's just you. For some reason, the where you're at in your life has just kind of pushed you away from this.
And even then, here's the danger of, and Corey, you told me something about the restaurant business that I actually think is like oddly related to this. People will text in, and I appreciate that very much. And there's a lot of people where I'm like, I'm Tolo no matter what. But it's the people that aren't responding because they turned it off.
They just went away.
And it's something you said about the restaurant once is like, it's not the bad review. It's a person that has a bad experience and they just never come back. And so that's what I'm worried about is even if people are like, oh, I'm all here for the Mavs, is how many people are not there and not responding because they're like, no, I heard you say Mavs and I was out.
Because if you give the people in the restaurant, if you go to the manager and say, hey, I had a bad experience, 9 times out of 10, they're going to do everything they can to make sure you come back to have a better experience. 9 times out of 10, maybe 10 times out of 10. And more likely they're going to be handing you some sort of thing. But if you don't, then they can't know. They can't know what they need to fix. And that's kind of the same, that same kind of feeling
there. And it's the same thing with the Stars, because I know the Stars play tonight. We'll love to go in depth on Stars tomorrow. And you'll get the same text every time to start off the show. Hockey. We got a huge playoff weekend.
From the 817, are you saying that Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball?
No, and then, not saying that.
Also, in addition to that.